This is Brother Peter Diamond, VaticanCatholic.com. We recently received an email from a man who was asking about spiritual matters. He also mentioned that he had been sexually abused. Over the years, we've received numerous emails from people who claim they were sexually abused. A few comments must be made on this topic. First, on the matter of sexual abuse, there is no doubt that any person or adult who engages in any kind of sexual abuse is evil and abomination, and on the path to hell for having committed an outrageous mortal sin. That person should also be reported. However, there are points that must be made about the victims of sexual abuse. The first is that the victims of sexual abuse often let the abuse in which they were involved define their lives. They allow the event to consume them, and in many cases, they sadly use it as a justification for sin or apostasy, that is, falling away from God. In this regard, one could mention the many people who attempt to justify homosexuality on the basis that they were abused. Moreover, the victims of sexual abuse often pity themselves. The event frequently becomes the focal point of their lives, and if something doesn't go well for them, sexual abuse is the reason. If they no longer want to practice the faith, they justify it by saying they were abused. If they don't want to pray, do spiritual reading, or avoid sins, they excuse it on the grounds that they were abused. This is not true in every case, but in many cases. In allowing the event to become the defining moment of their lives, as well as the justification for heresy or spiritual sloth, they are falling prey to the devil's plans. The devil wants victims of sexual abuse to use the evil deed as an excuse for not accomplishing what God wants them to accomplish in their lives. The devil wants them to use that abuse as an excuse for not pursuing the truth about Christ's church or for falling away from the faith altogether. In this way, the devil is successful not only in taking their innocence, but in keeping them on a path toward godlessness and hell. In this way, the abuser has not only violated them at a time in their past, but he has robbed them of what's most important going forward, the faith, without which it is impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6. People must not let that evil event define them or how they view spiritual things. They need to move on, search out God's will, and embrace the truth. If a person truly embraces Christ's faith and the means he has made available, no evil, no matter how dark, will not be overcome. The weakness of God is stronger than men, 1 Corinthians 1:25, and Christ has the keys of death and of hell, Apocalypse 1:18. Second, and this is crucial, victims of sexual abuse need to be honest with themselves. They must acknowledge what is, in many cases, their own role in the sexual abuse. For example, we often hear about sexual abuse cases where an adult pervert, quote, abuses a teenager. Sometimes it's reported that this occurred over days or months, with the teenager going back to the abuser's domain. What is not said, perhaps because it's not politically correct, is that while the adult instigator of the abuse is, of course, guilty, evil, and an unspeakably disgusting abomination, the teenager or young person who did not resist the adult's sexual advances when he or she could have is also complicit and guilty of mortal sin. In most cases, the young person being abused is complicit because even though young, he or she could have run away, alerted others, or resisted the abuser in one fashion or another. I'm convinced that one of the reasons that sexual abuse events maintain such a demonic grip on people throughout their lives is that people who could have resisted an abuser and did not have not been honest with themselves about their own guilt in the event. It's similar to a person who, after baptism, makes a general confession of mortal sins, yet deliberately fails to confess a mortal sin. That's a sacrilegious confession, and the person is not restored to the state of grace. The evil influence is not removed from the person because he or she did not honestly confess and acknowledge the mortal sin. In the same way, people who were complicit in sexual abuse, because they did not resist it when they could have, committed a mortal sin. The only way for them to rid themselves of the evil influence is, once they have the true faith, to confess their own participation in the event, a mortal sin, to a validly ordained priest. The information on our website, VaticanCatholic.com, covers how to do that for those convinced on the key issues of faith. That is not to say that every single person who was abused was complicit, but many of them were because they were of an age where avoiding the situation or rejecting the person was within their power. Moreover, it's important to understand that the modern-day mainstream, quote, Catholic Church is not the real Catholic Church. Our website demonstrates that the post-Vatican II structure and its false priests do not represent the Catholic Church. The reason a problem of sexual perversion has been widespread in the post-Vatican II Church is because those priests do not have the real Catholic faith. This must be understood by a Protestant or a non-Catholic, looking at the situation from afar. The dioceses, for example, that have gone bankrupt as a result of perverted priests are not truly Catholic. They don't adhere to the historic Catholic faith. The perverted priests, who were the cause of the bankruptcy, in many cases are not even validly ordained and certainly don't believe in traditional Catholic teaching. They adhere to the post-Vatican II modernist church, a counterfeit faith that is very different from the traditional Catholic faith. That's covered on our website. A real Catholic authority who adheres to the faith of all times would never allow any homosexual to enter a seminary. He would never tolerate any kind of sexual perversion whatsoever. That's why the abuse problem exploded after Vatican II, when the Catholic faith was lost in the buildings and a counterfeit religion took over. All of this is predicted in Scripture and in Catholic prophecy. We have an article which covers how the apostasy and idolatry of the post-Vatican II clergy is connected with the perversion of the post-Vatican II priests. People should consult this information and pray the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Rosary. Embracing the one true Catholic faith of history is necessary for hope and salvation.